This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer, and some Starbucks workers are out on strike. Also, the House passes a funding bill just hours before the deadline. But first, Teamster drivers out in force at Amazon locations throughout Southern California. Pete Demetrio reports those on the line in the city of industry got fired up when the head of the union joined in.
In blue jeans and wearing a Teamster t-shirt, Sean O'Brien told 200 workers on the picket line what was at stake in a national effort to bring Amazon to the bargaining table. He said individual effort is what will win in the long run.
You've got the courage and conviction to win this fight. And every single day, you've got to recruit someone else. I just saw a brother over there decide he liked what he saw. He parked his van and came out. That's what we got to keep doing. We got to mobilize these people, recruit them, and tell them how good it is to be a member of the greatest organization in this entire country. Woo! That's the International Brotherhood of Teamsters.
O'Brien told the workers he had a message for Amazon. Negotiating with the Teamsters is a full contact sport, and the company had better put on its helmet and buckle up its chin strap because the union is playing to win. In industry, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Unionized Starbucks workers in L.A., Chicago, and Seattle walked off the job. They say the company has backtracked on negotiations and will not put a reasonable offer on the table. John Beard has the story from Burbank.
The store here on Alameda was actually closed today as Starbucks baristas chanted and walked the picket lines. Starbucks says the baristas make $18 an hour, and when you include benefits, it's the equivalent of $30 an hour. But the employees say the company's offer was a pittance that would barely give the baristas a 50 cents an hour raise.
They advanced an offer that was not a viable good faith offer on economic benefits, so wages, benefits, and so on.
The union and its members say this five-day strike could turn into something more than that, depending on what the company decides to do.
The escalation plan past Christmas, it's not about Christmas and it's not about Christmas Eve. It's about how the company responds.
In Burbank, I'm John Baird, KNX News 97.1 FM.
A $22 million cryptocurrency scam nets indictments for two men, one from Beverly Hills, one from Thousand Oaks. Gabriel Hay and Gavin Mayo accused of cheating investors by soliciting funds for NFTs and digital assets and then abandoning them while keeping the money. That's called a rug pull. The charges, one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, two counts of wire fraud, and one count of stalking. Now, the two men facing a maximum of 20 years in prison on each conspiracy and wire fraud count, and a maximum of 5 years on the stalking count. California Department of Public Health chimed in today on cases of bird flu in the state. Larry Perel has an update.
While the virus has been found in 16 states, including California, the department, with the help of a state of emergency declared by Governor Newsom, provide more support for an increased response and to better understand the virus's behavior. Dr. Erica Pond is with the health department and says efforts to control the spread appear to be working.
The overall risk to the public remains low. 35 of our 36 human cases in California are the direct result of exposure to infected cattle. We still have not seen any evidence of human-to-human transmission in California or the U.S.
The agency says 5,000 people are being tested who may have been exposed to infected cattle, and so far 35 of 36 have tested positive. One, a child from Alameda County who got the bird flu, did not get it from exposure to an infected cow, but they're not sure at this point where the child got it from. There have been recalls of raw milk from some dairies, but Dr. Pond says at this point, nothing to worry about when it comes to the milk most of us drink.
Pasteurized milk and pasteurized dairy products continue to be safe to consume, and pasteurization is fully effective at inactivating the bird flu virus. As a parent and a pediatrician, I am grateful for pasteurization and always recommend pasteurized milk for my family and my patients.
More than 650 of the nearly 1,000 dairies in the state have tested positive for the virus. Some have been cleared. Others where the virus is found are undergoing cattle quarantines. I'm Larry Perel, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
17-year-old girl and her infant daughter have disappeared in L.A. County. Luz Cifuentes and her one-year-old were last seen in Palmdale yesterday afternoon. Sheriff's Department says there is concern for their well-being. It's believed that she was headed to L.A. She has straight brown hair, brown eyes, and a scar on her pinky finger. Deputies say if you see her, give them a call. A former Riverside County employee has been arrested on suspicion of stalking and kidnapping. Alexander Vanney, accused of stalking a woman last month. When investigators started looking into that case, they found out that Vanney had also been fired from the Riverside County Sheriff's Department after sexual assault allegations there. And they also found out about some other felony offenses on his record. Southern California communities in and around the wildfire areas going to have some more worries this winter. The possibility of mudslides and debris flows if big storms roll in. National Weather Service senior hydrologist Jamie Labor says a half inch of rain an hour is enough to trigger slides.
When we burn the vegetation off these areas, they become hydrophobic, which means that there's more potential for that rainfall to, instead of infiltrating into the soils, it'll run off. And that the burn area for the initial point or after the burn, it starts to act more like almost like it's raining on concrete. And then it just kind of sheets off and sheds off the water.
He says people in the impacted areas will get advance warnings to prepare. Weather forecasters can model an incoming storm and predict how much rain's going to fall and how hard. Southern California might get some rain next week, but Labor says not enough to cause mudslides. Child sex abuse charges have been filed against a piano teacher in Beverly Hills, LADA Nathan Hockman. Says the 41-year-old man is accused of sexually abusing a 13-year-old student earlier this year during piano lessons. He's being held on $1 million bail, is facing nearly 30 years in prison, and also having to register as a sex offender for life. Mega Millions jackpot is inside of $1 billion, currently $862 million for tonight's drawing. Not only is tonight the seventh biggest top prize ever for a Mega, there's also never been a Mega jackpot this high in the month of December. So if no one wins tonight, that jackpot's going to roll over to an estimated $944 million on Christmas Eve. You're listening to Nonstop News at 5, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. So there is going to be no government shutdown. Democrats in the House voted with Republicans to pass the latest spending bill from GOP Speaker Mike Johnson right before the deadline of 9 o'clock our time. The bill dropped the demand by Donald Trump for an increase in the debt limit. Didn't get that. Even so, 34 Republicans in the House voted no on the measure. For more, we are joined live by political analyst David McEwen of Sonoma State. Thanks for being here.
Well, happy Friday. A pleasure to join you.
So we keep playing these games over and over and over again. I asked somebody earlier today, I'll ask you the same question. Are they ever going to stop playing this game, especially looking ahead when we have unified Republican control of the government?
You know, Rob, there is a possibility of this. Donald Trump demanded the premature increase to the debt ceiling on Biden's watch rather than his own. He didn't get that. But he'd like to see the debt ceiling go away. And the scuttlebutt is, based upon this vote, Hakeem Jeffries, and there are many progressives as well, that want to see the debt ceiling go away. So there is a possibility that the debt ceiling itself could go away next year. This is something to pay attention to. The difficulty is that, look, Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, is in a really tight place, very difficult. And something really historic happened out of November, and that is that for the first time in modern history, the House majority is a thinner margin than the Senate majority. Usually it's the Senate that's very close, 50-50 thereabouts. It's reversed. It's on the House side. So we're going to see other votes that are critical for Donald Trump and the Republicans and their agenda that are going to be close like this, where there's going to be defections and you're going to see more Democratic votes on legislation than Republican votes, especially in the first, say, 100 days, 180 days headed into next year.
Does Donald Trump come out of this with a little bit of damage? Elon Musk had tweeted no support for the first bill, and then he appeared to follow suit, calling for it to be shut down. It was. And then he backed the second bill, this Plan B, but 38 Republicans did not support that bill. And now we've got this one, which does not have the debt increase that he demanded be in this bill. So is he damaged?
He certainly is. Look, there was Plan A that didn't work. Plan B didn't work. Plan C only lived like on X. And then what you got today was Plan D. And what that indicated is that Donald Trump should be at the apex of his power moving forward. Joe Biden and Democrats seem to have disappeared a little bit in terms of White House leadership here. Their view was that Republicans created this mess. They needed to clean it up. But this did absolutely damage Donald Trump to a certain degree. And also it showed the co-presidency, that is Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, both of them certainly are going to play a huge role beyond what they do with Dodge in the Trump presidency moving forward. And there's a key role, a key kind of element of managing the presidency, never get ahead of the president. And we did see that Elon Musk got ahead of the president here. And then, of course, they rallied around this final analysis, this final bill that came out of the House.
Very quickly, deep spending cuts coming in the next bill, the next time they do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a $2.5 trillion trade-off for $1.5 trillion in debt relief. So that next year is going to be tough. Pay close attention to those Medicare and Medicaid cuts that could affect the elderly and the most vulnerable. That could roll over to Social Security. Things to watch moving forward.
All right. Thanks so much. That is David McEwen of Sonoma State. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And so we kind of looked at the Constitution of the United States, see if it could do with a little bit of polishing up, some rewriting or so. That's coming up a nonstop at 5. Some Democrats say they're worried that Republicans might convene a constitutional convention, rewrite the basic rights that have been on the books for a long time. Charles Feldman and Margaret Quero got more on Countdown 2025 from constitutional experts Ilya Shapiro from the Manhattan Institute and Richard Albert from the University of Texas.
What would be so bad about having one, Ilya?
Well, nothing in the abstract. We've had 27 amendments. Perhaps we should have had more. There's a strong argument that a lot of the changes in the New Deal in terms of giving the federal government more power were effectively constitutional amendments that the Supreme Court let go as normal legislation. You know, the danger is that truly crazy stuff would go through and have some runaway convention to fundamentally change the country, or as happened in the one and only one, we would scrap the Constitution and adopt some other system of government. I'm not so concerned about that because anything would have to be ratified by three quarters of the states, but that is what people are generally afraid of.
And Richard, what do you think?
Well, there is a concern, which is that if a convention is held and amendments are proposed to the country, the delegates at the convention can themselves choose to do what the founders chose to do, which was to not just scrap the Articles of Confederation, but to propose an altogether new rule of ratification. So it might not be three quarters of the states that we need. It might be two thirds, might be 51%, whatever they say would go.
So, Ilya, let me just ask you this, though. What do you see as the likelihood of actually having another constitutional convention convened?
Very low. I don't think you can simply just count up all of the states that have historically called for conventions on any subject, because most of the calls have not been just open-ended. They've been for a balanced budget amendment, for example. That's the most common one. But lots of other things, as was mentioned in the introduction, California has 7 outstanding calls for different topics. You can't just call up count up all the calls together. They have to be on the same subject. So it hasn't happened yet. It's probably not likely to happen. Historically, the reason we've generally not had a convention is because when there's been enough political momentum towards calling for a convention, Congress has gotten ahead of that, taking control of the process, because, of course, the way we've gotten all of our amendments is for Congress to propose something and then send it out to states for ratification.
But, Richard, let me bounce off you what Ilya just said. Is that actually established law that the different calls for a constitutional convention by various states over various periods of time have to be on the same topic? Or is that something that could wind its way, that question, all the way up to a very conservative Supreme Court, and who knows what it would decide?
You know, we really don't know what the answer is. The founders did not leave us a roadmap for calling a convention. The specificities that we'd have to answer, you know, who are the delegates going to be? How are they going to be chosen? What are the rules of procedure? And so I agree with Ilya Shapiro, actually, on the point that you can't just count up all of the different calls and petitions that have been made by the various states in American history for a convention. They have to be petitions that are specific, perhaps even worded similarly, precisely the same, in order for them to be valid. Now, you asked a question about whether this could make its way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. My view is no. This, I think, raises what the court has defined as a political question, meaning a subject that is not for judicial resolution, but rather for political actors themselves to resolve on their own.
Countdown 2025 airs on KNX at 2:30 weekday afternoons, weeknights at 8. It's also available on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Look at the markets. The Dow closed up 498 today. NASDAQ up 200. S&P up 64.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Entertainment Report. Well, you might recognize that music as the theme to the hit political thriller House of Cards. Almost hard to believe there was a time when Netflix co-chief executive officer Ted Sarandos worried that his $100 million gamble on the production would end his career. He recalled this conversation with his wife.
She said, "Will you get fired if this doesn't work?" I said, "Well, it's fireable. It's fireable."
Sarandos says when he brought the show to Netflix co-founder Reed Hastings, though, he was supportive.
You have to remember, Reed created this company culture that enabled me to take a big swing like that. And for me, I looked at it as a kind of classic risk reward. Yes, this is a lot of money. If this doesn't work, we will have dramatically overpaid for a show, which we kind of are at risk of doing all the time. But if it does work, we could fundamentally change the course of the business.
House of Cards, of course, went on to become a huge hit, as did Netflix's strategy to invest in original productions. I'm Bloomberg's Karen Moscow, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That is your nonstop news at 5, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Take the limit to 40333 for a free case review.